The wayside was thick. The flowers and the palm trees green with their heavy branches. Some of the crowd ran ahead and tore down the branches and carried them in triumph. Some spread them with their cloaks on the path as they would have done for a king. As the procession moved forward, they shouted in excitement and joy, "Praise to David's son. God bless him. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God."
God's response. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They were there when he preached to thousands in a fishing boat, when he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were there when he raised the girl from Nain to new life. They were there when he confronted the Gerasene demoniac, when he gave sight to the man born blind, when he healed the bent over woman, when the paralyzed man was lowered through the roof of a house, when Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb and said the words that rocked the community, "Lazarus, come forth," and then saw the man do just that.
It was hard to imagine that the Messiah had come, but in Jesus they experienced all that the Messiah was said to be. They called him Lord, Rabbi, and Friend. They knew that he was a gift from God, proclaimed by the angels to be Emmanuel, God with us. They knew, too, that many were afraid. King Herod, Caiaphas, the Pharisees, and Sadducees, afraid of his growing influence and popularity. But none of that mattered as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, that first Palm Sunday. When Jesus was hailed as king, he entered the holy city in triumph, surrounded by those who loved him. Finally, they thought, God's kingdom has come. They stood and cheered, "Hosanna to the King! Rejoice and sing!" Excitement filled the air. Smiles and cheers. Happy hearts, rejoicing unlike anything Jerusalem had seen in years.
As Jesus rode into the city, those nearest to him noticed that his face was sad. There was little sign that here was an all-conquering popular hero coming to lead his people in rebellion against Rome. Jesus had tried so hard to make them understand that there was nothing of earthly power about the kingdom he preached. They had already forgotten his warnings about what was going to happen this week. Very soon their dreams would be shattered. Soon they reached a bend in the road and they could see the glorious city in the sunshine. No Jew could see Jerusalem unmoved. And then the crowds came into focus, joining the chorus of his followers. Praise to David's son, Hosanna in the highest.
Some of the followers realized the significance of his deliberate choice of a donkey on which to ride. But many had obviously forgotten that this humble beast suggests peace rather than the sword. Jesus was the only one in this noisy, excited crowd who knew that the truth was utterly different from their own materialistic ideas. The truth meant that he would have to die on a cross to save the world from its sin.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, that was the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the householder, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I will eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." The disciples set out and went into the city and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
When it was evening, Jesus and his disciples were at the Passover table eating, and Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say that to him one after the other, "Is it I?" Jesus said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my blood poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Within an upper room they gathered round Jesus Christ and his disciples, a final meal, a sacrament of love, bread and wine prepared for us. The body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember, The wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, pay the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King.
After the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "I will never leave you." And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny knowing me three times." But Peter said vehemently, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny knowing you." And all the disciples said the same.
Then they went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asked them to stay outside the gate so that they might pray alone. "Remain here and watch," he asked. "My soul is sorrowful, even unto death." His voice sounded harsh and anxious. He went into the garden alone and fell to the ground crying out, "Abba, Father." His breathing quickened. He could hardly control his next words, crying out, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You can take this cup from me. You can make this hour pass away from me." Then there was silence until he uttered the last part of his prayer. "Nonetheless, not my will, Father. Let yours be done." He lay a while in perfect quietness, weak, empty, and exhausted. Finally, Jesus rose up. His legs trembled under the natural weight of standing, but he was able to make his way back to James and Simon and John. When he came to them, his heart sank into deeper and deeper loneliness. Their bodies lay like sacks at the base of the trees. They were sleeping. He roused Simon and said, "Couldn't you watch 1 hour with me? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak." Then Jesus saw small firelight below him at the foot of Mount Olive. So he bent down to his disciples, shook them awake, and said, "Get up and look. Look down the mountain. The hour has come. My betrayer is at hand."
Suddenly Judas appeared, and with him a company of guards with smoking torches, swords, and clubs, together with the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Judas had told them,
"The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away."
Judas spied Jesus and came closer to his teacher, so close that Jesus could see the pores in his flesh. Looking into his eyes, he said,
"Master."
And Judas kissed him. Then the guards grabbed Jesus and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. There was chaos until Jesus yelled out, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me like a robber? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me then." But he said, walking to them, "This is your hour, the hour of darkness. Let the scriptures be fulfilled." As if his words were their command, the soldiers also moved forward. In torchlight, they began to bind Jesus' arms. One of the disciples yelled out in fear. This was proving to be a very large contingent of soldiers. The more they filled the area around Jesus, the more the disciples shrank backward. Jesus watched as terror overtook them and they fled. Some crept away, some dodged and raced away, but they all scattered, all of them, till no one was left. And Jesus was completely alone.
They led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire while the crowd sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Many bore false witness against him, but their witness did not agree. Some stood saying,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'"
The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make?" But Jesus was silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Most High?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and yelled out, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And there was a chorus of unity. "Death," they proclaimed. Suddenly, men surged toward Jesus, spitting in his face and hitting him in the head. The guards covered his eyes and led him away.
Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the maids of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said,
"You also were with that Nazarene Jesus."
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"You were with him. I saw you. This man is one of them."
"You're wrong. I don't know this man. No, you just don't know what you're talking about."
"You are one of them. You're a Galilean."
"You're crazy.
You know that man, Jesus."
"You're crazy. I never have seen him in my whole life. I don't even know who you're talking about. Now, leave me alone."
In the distance, one could hear a rooster crow, and suddenly Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him that before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times, and he broke down and wept.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You have said so." The chief priests began to accuse him of many things, and Pilate again asked, "Have you no answer to make?" But Jesus made no further answer.
Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. Among the rebels in prison was a murderer, Barabbas. The other chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release for them Barabbas rather than Jesus. But Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried again,
"Crucify!
And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him!
So Pilate, hoping to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas and delivered Jesus to be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away, calling together the whole battalion. They clothed Jesus in a purple cloak and placed on his head a crown of thorns. They laughed and they began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, they spat upon him, and they knelt down in homage to him. Then they stripped him of the purple cloak, they put his own clothes on him, and they thrust upon his shoulders a heavy wooden beam, forcing him to walk up the center of the street to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him there, hanging him upon a cross of execution. It was the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription was placed above his head that read, "The King of the Jews." Now with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Then save yourself and come down from that cross." The chief priests also mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot even save himself." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus then uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman centurion who stood facing him saw that Jesus had breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God."
Filled with darkness.
When evening had come, since it was the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a Pharisee and a respected member of the council, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate summoned the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he heard that he was dead, Pilate granted the body to Joseph. Joseph had brought with him a beautiful linen shroud. He carefully took Jesus' body down from the cross and lay his Lord upon the white shroud and wound the linen around him. He then carried Jesus to a tomb which had been hewn out of rock, and he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Silently, he returned home.
There in God's garden stands the tree of wisdom, whose leaves are full.